We're going to start with Ephesians 1, 10 through 14. I'm glad you said that. Okay, so God has led us into the secret of His purpose, the overarching view of what He's doing in history. And I do remember the first time I read that, and I thought, this is the most amazing thing. I'm really big on purpose because it gives us meaning in our lives. That's why a lot of people are depressed. They don't realize if they're Christians, they have a purpose that's been foreordained. And so here's what God's doing, and then we're going to come to our part. It says, here's His purpose that's going to be put into effect. Here we go, right there. When the times will have reached their fulfillment. In other words, it's on a timetable. Life isn't random. History is marching to a goal. So when the time is right, and God knows that timing, He is going to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And it's not even so much the idea. It is the idea that we're coming. God is bringing everything in the universe. All of the universe is going to be brought under the leadership, the headship of Christ. But there's the sense in the Greek that, like, we know that life isn't working right now. Things are kind of upside down and topsy-turvy. In the Greek, this sense is that everything is going to finally come together and make sense and all be in meaningful relationship in Christ. So it's very hopeful. So that's what God is doing ultimately. He is bringing people groups together. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody is going to be His. What He is doing is redeeming people, bringing a vast family of children together who know and love Him from every tribe, language, nation, and people, who will one day, with all of creation that is redeemed, come under the Lordship of Christ. So everything is going to make sense and be a meaningful relationship. Hallelujah, we want to speed that day because we're not there yet. And here comes our part in this. His purpose for us. In Him we were also chosen, in Christ, because all of His purposes center, God's purposes center in Christ. We have been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. There's that word purpose again. He's working out everything. There it is. I've heard R.C. Sproul once said, there is not one maverick molecule. He is working out everything in conformity to the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. He's telling us our purpose. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. In other words, when you believed, when you heard the gospel and believed, you were also marked in Him with a seal, the seal of ownership. You belong to the Lord, and that seal is the Holy Spirit. The minute you heard the good news about God's love for you in Christ, and you believed it, and you received Him into your life, that moment you received the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. That's God's mark of ownership on you. You're not your own anymore. And the Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And what's our ultimate purpose? The praise of His glory. That people ought to look at our lives and see something about the greatness, the goodness, the majesty, the kindness, the love of our God. So that's a mouthful, and it would take us a week to unpack all that. But I wanted you to see that the Lord has laid out for us His purpose. He's doing a lot of other things. And it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. But He is taking all of this and His purposes are not thwarted. Scripture says His purposes will not be thwarted. He will accomplish His purposes. And we can partner with Him in that or we can not. And, you know, if we're believers, we'll be in heaven, but we won't have the joy of partnering with Him. He may have to use somebody else to accomplish that particular thing. So, we want to look at that this morning. I think I kind of moved ahead in there. But, the point being, history is moving in a direction, and our part is the praise of God's glory. How do we do that? Well, actually, it's just living out our daily lives in such a way that the risen, living Lord is reflected. That He is seen and heard in our conversation and in our actions. And then to deliberately press in to fulfill our unique part in God's purpose for our generation. The Bible is really a record. I was thinking that we talk about the life of Joseph, but really it's really much more than that. It's really the account of God's working through His servant, His person Joseph, isn't it? It's really God's work. Yes, Joseph was faithful, but it was God bringing all that about. Sometimes in ways that probably Joseph liked, and sometimes in ways that weren't so great. But God, it's the record of God working out His purpose in accomplishing His will and working out His purpose through men and women who were set apart for Him. So we've seen it clearly. We're going to continue to see it in Joseph's life. David, as I mentioned before, he served God's purpose in his generation. Remember, he didn't do it perfectly. We know that if you know the story of David. He made some major errors, but he always came back to the Lord in true repentance. And there were consequences for his sins, but God accomplished his purpose through David. And God called him a man after my own heart. Isn't that hopeful for those of us who've stepped off the path and continue to do from time to time? Joseph, David, I thought about Queen Esther, if you know the book of Esther in the Old Testament, that she strategically is placed in a foreign kingdom. She's a Hebrew woman, and it's said to her by her uncle, "Who is to say that you are not here for such a time as this?" And she had to do a lot of risk-taking in there, and yet God preserved her and used her to preserve His people. So we're all really, in a sense, in our own just generations, God brings His people to such a time as this. And it's up to us, will we cooperate with His purposes for us? So on and on through the scripture record, the Bible record, we see men and women being used by God to accomplish His purpose as well. How do we then serve God's purpose in our generation? Or you can ask, how do you and I fulfill our unique part in His will for our generation? It's really a question to be asking, especially as I was thinking about this with our granddaughter as I'm praying for her. How do we, I can pray that for her, but just like in my own life and in yours, how do we fulfill our part in God's purpose for our generation? Well, and again, these are just ways that came to me as I was thinking through Scripture and as God was working and I was praying, and some of you all were praying for me, and I appreciate that. Number one, and I don't have you an outline today, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to say it so you'll hear it. How do we cooperate with the Lord and His purposes in our lives? Number one, by accepting God's ways in our lives. And I could have said joyfully accepting God's ways in our lives, by accepting God's ways. What do I mean by that? Well, the various means He uses, number one, to make us like Christ. The things He brings into our lives or allows into our lives to make us like Christ. One writer has said, "Our Father has purposed for Himself a vast family of sons and daughters who will bear the family likeness of His Son." That's His purpose, as He is bringing all things together in heaven and earth under the headship of Christ. He is sending forth men and women with the gospel, the good news about God's love for us, the free gift of Christ, around the globe as He's bringing more and more people into His family, as He's bringing your children into His family, as you teach them about Jesus, as you model His life before their eyes. So God is building a family. Therefore, Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, all things work together for good in our lives because God is using them for His transforming work in us. And some of His ways are not as pleasant. He's able to take things that happen in people's responses to us and their choices and mold them and use them for good. That's the promise of His word. So therefore, when bad things happen, if you are the Lord's, you can try and remember that verse and say, "Yes, Lord, I don't appreciate, this is not what I would choose, but I'm going to trust that in some means you are ultimately going to use it for my good." So it doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is good, not by any stretch. But God is saying, even in that divorce, even that loss of a child, He will not waste anything. So that's hopeful for us, but it's also hard to accept His ways. I know some years ago when some things happened in my own family with my mother that didn't add up. I didn't think God should have allowed that to happen to my mother. I'm very close to my mother. And it was a painful journey, and it still is at times, to accept God's ways, the things that He allowed in her life, the suffering. But God has used it. He continues to use it in my life. Do I understand it all? No. I've spent many times in the years past on my knees before Him asking for answers and asking for Him to change things, and He chose to work differently. But I've seen His faithfulness and I've seen His provision. And I'm learning that my mother is leaving a legacy in the midst of her suffering. So, He's promised to work all things together for good. So how is one way we can participate with Him and not fight against Him and to fulfill our part in His purpose is to accept His ways. And I use the ing form of the word accepting because it's a daily, accepting God's ways. Today I need to accept His ways, just like tomorrow I need to be accepting God's ways with me. Secondly, not only His ways in conforming me to the image of Christ, but I need to be, you, by His grace and help, be accepting God's ways in accomplishing His will and plan. So in other words, He's transforming our lives, but at the same time, we need to accept His timetable as He's working out His purposes. We need to accept the ways He's accomplishing His purposes in the world around us. I'll never forget in reading the story of Joseph some years ago when I came across Genesis 41:1 in our passage today. And it says, when 2 full years had passed for Joseph. Now, he's already been in prison. He's interpreted the dreams of the butler and baker and said, by the way, remember me when you get out. And what happened? Well, the baker probably forgot him. And it says Joseph was in prison 2 more years. I didn't like that so well. No, he needs to be out. He's God's man. But God left him there. So Joseph had to accept that. Now, he may not have been real joyful. We don't really, the biblical record doesn't really tell us. But we know he continued to be faithful. And so we know that Joseph's time in prison had not been a mistake in the divine plan. God had a timetable because the famine was coming. He had to get Joseph ready. He had to get the circumstances ready. That's a real hopeful thing for you and me as we're waiting on some prayers to be answered, as we're waiting on some things to change in our lives. God has a timetable as He's working out His purposes. God never wastes anything. Here's another great scripture. I didn't write it on here, but it's 1 Corinthians 4:5. And it says, 1 Corinthians 4:5, judge nothing before the appointed time. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Now, I don't know about you and me, but I'm judging today. I'm thinking, I'm not liking this, Lord. This is not going to work out well. This is not what I pictured. This is not my script. We are not to judge before the appointed time. The Lord may never really give us answers. He's never really told me why He allowed these things to happen to my mother. But I'm beginning to see that He is bringing good out of these things. So we are not to judge before the appointed time. So one of the first ways that we can fulfill our part in God's purposes is by accepting God's ways. Second, we can do so by acknowledging our position as believers in Christ. Acknowledging our position. We probably need to do this every day. Another way I could have said it was to be acknowledging our identity in Christ. But I like that, acknowledging our position. So let's look at 1 Peter 2:9 on here, all the way down. In the letter that Peter wrote, 1 Peter, he is talking to a group of people, Christians, who are going through some persecution. And he's wanting to remind them, he started in the first part of the letter to say, you are temporary residents here. You're foreigners. You're aliens. You're strangers on earth. You're not home yet. Heaven is home. So be aware of that. I think you and I try to make heaven on earth. We expect that here, just like the believers did in the first century. And so the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Peter said, just remember, you're temporary residents here. He goes on to tell them much more than that. This is who you are. 1 Peter 2:9, and this is one of my early verses as a Christian that spoke to me. You are a chosen people. He's talking about Christians in general, not just an individual, but certainly it applies to us individually. You are a royal priesthood. That goes back to Old Testament imagery of the Hebrew people. We're kings and priests. We're royal because we belong to the king, the King of Kings, and we're priests. A priest is an in-between. We bring people to God and God to people. It's all God's work, but we get the privilege because we have a relationship with the Lord through Christ. So he's saying you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, meaning all God's people are a nation in a sense, a people belonging to God. Some versions say God's own special people. So that's who we are. That's our position. We're not our own anymore. Our identity is in Christ. We belong to God for his purposes. But notice the second part of that verse. Our salvation in Christ is not only for our own personal benefit, but also to bring praise and glory to God. And this is the part that really strikes you. He said, this is who you are. It's a wonderful status. It's a wonderful position, but there's a purpose for it. It's not just for us to be like, well, look, we're pretty special. You all are over here. We're here. No. What's the purpose that he's called us to himself? That we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Some of you may remember before you really had believed in Christ and remember that there's darkness. And not that you couldn't see, but there ought to be a difference. Life didn't have meaning. It didn't have as much purpose to it. There ought to be a difference. For me, I will say to you, I had been raised in a home where my parents went to church. They took me to church. I believed. But God worked in my life actually right after I got married. It wasn't until then that I really came into a personal sense that God loved me, that Christ had died for my sins. And all I can say to you is, I was reading a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. You know, there again, God's working in my life apart from anything I did. I picked a book up off the bookshelf in my parents' home, Mere Christianity. And I remember sitting where I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky, opening that book, and it was like the light bulb went on. And it was like all that I'd heard and been taught, it made sense. So he brought me out of darkness. I didn't know I was in darkness. Into his marvelous light. And from then on, the story began. Really, the story began earlier, but for me, it was a new beginning. So, he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, but we don't just stay in the light and put a, you know, covering over the light, as Matthew 5 says. We're to let the light shine. We're to show forth his praises. Now, it doesn't mean you stop people at everybody you see on the street and tell them. You might be called to do that. But it means to, in your life, in your daily life, where you live, to declare him, to show his praises in your conversation, in your speech, in your actions, and so forth. Number one, in the little church in your home. Have you heard that said before? Your home is a little church. So before the eyes of your children, you are to reflect Christ. And that's tough on those days when they're crying and you just want to send them to time out all day or whatever you do. You know, I don't know. But it may be hard for some of you because of your marriage. You have a husband who's not on the same page you are with a desire to love the Lord or grow and so forth. And so you're called to live out before your husband's eyes the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In a sense, you are especially trying to live out your faith in Egypt. If you've got a husband who's not right alongside you, maybe he's antagonistic or maybe he's indifferent. So there's a little church in your home. That's the number one place. In your neighborhood. In your children's school. Maybe in your workplace if you work outside the home. Maybe in your extended family where there's not an interest in the things of the Lord. Maybe in your world in a bigger picture. God may call some of you to move out into missions, mission trips around the globe. So it goes on and on, but we need to bring it down to how do we do that. And lastly, how do we go about fulfilling our part in God's will and God's purposes in our generation? The third thing, I think, is to press on, or pressing on, we're using the ing forms because it's an ongoing, it's a continuing, pressing on to fulfill our unique part in God's purposes for our generation. I'm just summing it up there. To do what the Apostle Paul said, to press on. To press on, to press in, you might say. In other words, to make it a pursuit. To find out what is God's unique part for me in His purpose. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:12 says this in that great passage on that I may know Christ. All this other stuff is meaningless. I just want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and fellowship of sharing in His suffering. He goes on to say, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. In other words, Christ Jesus has a purpose for my life, and I'm going to press on to take hold of that purpose that He has for me. Well, how do we know our part? Number one, I think it's through prayer and through the Word, God's Word. As you are reading God's Word, He is putting things in your life, interests, and He's teaching you more about His heart, what things are important to His heart. As you pray and try to listen, and again, not just like this morning, I wasn't hearing a voice, but this doesn't happen very often, but He knew that things were desperate. I needed to hear from Him. So in the middle of the night, just some thoughts were circling around about God's purpose and so forth. So God will speak to you. Usually it's through your Word, through His Word, and as you pray. Second, what is your passion? What things really light your fire? Most of the time, God doesn't call us to be partnering in His purposes if it's something we're just like dreading and drudgery. Now, it doesn't mean that there are times that we're, you know, sometimes when I work on these talks, I believe God's called me to, this is so much work, I must not be called to this, and, you know, on and on and on. But in general, you should have a passion because that's our God. He's created you. He's wired you. He's preordained for the works that He wants you to do. You ought to have a passion about it. Third, look for opportunities. I just talked to my brother, Carlton, who lives here in Dallas last night. He just got back from Burundi in Africa. His church, he goes to Watermark, another church in our great church in our community, and he had been asked to go as part of a leadership team to Burundi. Now, my brother's an engineer. He likes things in a box, you know, just sort of. Anyway, he stepped out and had prayed about it, and he felt led to go to Burundi, and it was way out of his comfort zone, you know. But I could just tell. I mean, he was talking on, and, you know, we have a grandbaby. I was talking on. I had this to work on, but I couldn't stop him because these stories he's telling me about these people, these women who, one woman couldn't even read her Bible because, number one, she didn't have a Bible in Burundi. The women don't have Bibles there, mostly, and hardly the men. But she didn't have glasses to read her Bible. It broke my heart. I mean, just the abject poverty these people live in, and just telling these stories about these people's joy and how these women danced around and clapped and sang when they were given Bibles in their language. I mean, they can't afford Bibles. So my brother has been transformed, and he partnered with the Lord in His purposes because the door opened for an opportunity. And I was blessed in his sharing. I mean, I was just like crying, you know, his telling me these things. So, look for opportunity. Again, not every opportunity that comes is from the Lord. I'm not saying that. But pray about those things that come your way. Maybe there's somebody God's been putting on your heart. It's like, why am I thinking about that person? Probably God has a ministry for you. Probably God is calling you into His purposes in this person's life. Maybe just to walk alongside them and be her friend, or, you know, and that through your life she will see something, and you will have you will earn the right to speak to her about spiritual things, about the Lord. So anyway, look for opportunities. The fourth way that we can know our part is through other believers, through other people. When people come to you and say, you know, I see that God's really gifted you in that area. Or just sometimes there's an opportunity to bounce things off other people. But God has given us each other in the church, in the body of Christ, as the Bible calls it, to help us because we have the Holy Spirit as we pray with other people. Lastly, this is like not my favorite, willing to take risks. I'm not a risk taker. I kind of like to stay in my little shelter. You know, I was listening to my brother about going to Africa, and I thought, ooh, I'm not big on those 44-hour flights. It took you 44 hours to get home. But you know what? I'm not saying never. I'm not signing up tomorrow, but I'm not saying never. So this to me was like, I wasn't going to put that, but I thought, I need to put that. You need to be willing to take risks. You know, risk might be for you just sharing Christ with somebody. You know, just kind of taking a step. Somebody that, you know, God's put on your heart. So, finally, who can measure the impact of a life that is deliberately pressing on to fulfill all God's will in his or her generation? Who can measure the impact of a life? I was thinking about this in terms of ourselves and then our children. Number one, for ourselves. I mean, I'm looking back in my own life, and I feel like there's so much more to be pressing into. I hear my brother going to Africa, and I'm thinking, what am I doing, you know, with my life? But I do know we can't be looking at other people. Yes, you can look at them and see what God's doing. But it's dangerous sometimes to compare because we feel like either we're too proud or we just are over in a muddle, you know, in a puddle over there, thinking nothing's going well. But I think we do need to press on, certainly. And I look back in my own life in some things. I do believe God called me to teach his word for a time in my life. And how do I know? How did that all work come together? Well, number one, when I became a Christian, I just had a real desire to study God's word. I loved God's word. I'm a word person. I was an English and French major, so I'm a word person. So I see that, number one, just in his innate gifts to me. Secondly, I saw early on, I was drawn to Bible studies. And I also, as a young mom, and I look back on this, this wasn't my doing. God put this in me. I spent time, I knew I wanted to read through the whole of the Bible. I did it for several years. And again, I'm not telling you I did anything great. God did this in me. He gave me a desire. He gave me the tools to do it. A friend of mine gave me a little help called Daily Walk. And we read through the Bible in a year. And I did that year after year. And I would sit down in the morning when my children were playing, or one was in preschool, and I'd be writing out scriptures to memorize them. God did that in me. I mean, I look back and I think, why did I do that, really? But I desired to do that. And he was preparing me and equipping me down the road. I went to a women's Bible study when we lived in Houston years. Then we moved around the country. That's the time that I had to do that study in preparation. Then he moved us to Lake Forest, Illinois, and a Bible study was starting there. And through his various means, he got me into this study that I'd been a part of in Houston. I was a small group leader, and on 2 years later, I was the assistant teaching person. 2 years after that, I was the teaching person of the whole class. I thought, how did this happen? God did it all. But so therefore, did I press into his purposes? I don't really think I did, except he just led me the whole way. And I didn't stand back. I didn't say no. I prayed about it. I had other people pray about it. So I'm sharing that with you, not for you to look at me, but to say God is faithful. He will lead you if you desire, if you want to know his purposes in your life. How you can fulfill his part for you. And it's an ongoing thing. He'll probably totally change me. I have a new part in his purposes in being a grandmother. So that's a new role for me, so I'm going to need his help in that as well. The last thing I want to talk about is with your children, and this is where you're living right now. Not only is it important for you, but you have an opportunity with your children right now to begin teaching them, number one, about God's love, Christ, and so forth as they grow the Holy Spirit. Just the incredible privilege of belonging to the Lord. And to help them begin realizing they have been set apart for great purposes. Not in a prideful way, but in a very humble way. Their life has meaning and purpose. To help them begin seeing that they belong to the Lord. He loves them. He has all their days written in a book. and you can pray with them in ways that they can understand where they are. Lord, help me to know today what you want me to do. You know, just ways, the little gentle ways that they begin hearing and understanding. God loves me and He has a plan for me and I want to know what it is. And then God will teach them as life goes along that, you know, sometimes He takes us off these little routes that are a little different and so forth. You don't need to give them the whole picture, you know, at age 3. But just begin teaching them that their lives have meaning and purpose. If they're the Lord's, God has a unique plan for them as He accomplishes His purpose and the ultimate purpose of bringing us into conformity with His Son, that one day everything is going to come into place under Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we stand in awe that You would be willing to work so personally in our lives and to take us up into Your grand purposes for the universe and for eternity. And my prayer for each one of us is that as we seek to press on to fulfill those that you have for us, the purposes that You have for us in our generation, that even beyond that, Lord, we will press in to know the amazing, incredible, majestic, holy, marvelous God who You are. Lord, may it be so in each one of our lives and in the lives of each of the children represented here and the children who are yet to come. We praise this in Jesus' name.